You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, how are you getting ready for the 4th of July weekend in Huntington Beach this weekend?
Well, we are laying low, as probably most of us are. We are going to be cooking some, though. I actually am going to be making Paula Deen's peach cobbler.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which always reminds me of the lake, because we always have it at the lake. So... Yeah, well, what about you? What do you have going on this weekend?
Well, you know, Janet and I are actually at the lake this weekend with your brother and our son, Gary, and with my sister, Lisa. So we're having a big time. It is
awesome.
Pretty hot out there, but it's a beautiful weekend. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, good. And are you grilling tomorrow?
You know, we're going to be cooking some meat, but we're cooking it inside. We just decided the grill here is literally falling apart, and so we're a little worried about using it. Plus, as hot as it's going to be, just thought maybe it'd be better to be inside, so that's what we'll be doing. Yeah.
Well, good. Okay, so Dad, so today we are doing part two of a two-part series on model and imitation in today we're talking about the military, mentoring, and family. And so we have a special guest. Can you kind of briefly recap what we talked about last week in our episode and then introduce our guest?
You bet. So model and imitation is one of those things that we said in the last podcast. It's like you don't see it until you see it. And then it's like throughout the New Testament. What it is this thing that Jesus used, and then Paul used especially, in terms of showing people an example of what it means to live a Christian life. Mm-hmm. And this certainly includes things like, you know, reading the Word and prayer, but even just like living your life. Like, how do you be a citizen of this country at this time? Mm-hmm. And your faith be reflected in it.
Yeah.
And we can read books on that. We can read in the Bible about that. But it really helps if we have Christians around us who give us examples that we can consider and follow, especially, and this is the catch, especially as they're centered in on Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking last time about how this is just throughout pretty much every letter that Paul wrote, he's emphasizing that, you know, that he set an example for them to follow, and they should do that, but then also that they should set an example for others to follow. And this is just kind of a normal, kind of intrinsic way that we learn to live the Christian life. So we kind of unpacked that in the last episode. We shared some insights that were in a white paper that was offered with last episode. It'll also be offered with this episode, some show notes. But then today, we do have a special guest. We have a dear friend of mine, Steve Smith, who will be telling you about himself. But Steve and I have been friends for a long time, and I love him and hold him in great regard. So he's going to be helping us to flesh out this model and imitation kind of through his life. Like, how has he learned that, and what are the lessons he's learned about it? But before I throw it to Steve, I just want to tell you, it's kind of... you say uncanny, I think it was God's sovereignty. Right before we got on this recording, I was talking to a young man who's involved with Leadership Edge and is in a mentoring relationship, and he is seriously feeling that God's leading him towards moving out of the career that he's been in a couple of years since college and into the military. And he was talking to me, he said, I just wish I had someone I could sit with that could explain and kind of show me what it looks like to keep growing as a Christian in a military context, but then also how to keep investing in others and ministering to others in a military context. And it was, as we were talking about that, I was just thinking, here it is again. You know, someone who's wanting to grow as a Christian in a specific way, And they're saying, you know, in addition to what God's word says, or kind of alongside what God's word says, it would sure help me to have a picture or an example of someone who's doing this that I could learn from.
Yeah.
So with all that said, Steve, I want to throw it over to you and Steve Smith and just ask you if you would introduce yourself and especially give us a little bit of the timeline of your life, kind of the different places, sequences that you've been through in your life.
Hmm.
So Steve, we'll throw it to you.
Yeah, well, guys, one, it's really an honor to be here. I'm excited about talking about this with you guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, so I guess, John, to answer your question, I don't think I can let you get away with saying you love me without me saying it back. this Leadership Edge and John, you have had a massive impact on my life, and I think it has a lot to do with modeling and imitation, and the model you've been for me, and then the opportunity I had to imitate you and the other men who are connected to this organization. So, thank you. It's great to be able to be here talking about this.
You bet, Steve.
So, yeah, I guess the kind of big picture, big pieces of the story that would maybe be relevant for this. First of all, like how I started following Jesus is, I think it's going to be central to anything else we talk about. I grew up in a wonderful home with great parents who did a really good job of having a very God-centered environment. Even if they were trying to work out what that meant for themselves, it was never really a question as to whether or not he was real, or whether or not I needed to take him seriously, or be around other people that were doing that. And so pretty early on, I think I was about 7, I don't know the exact age, but around then, I remember coming into my dad's office crying because I'd been a bonehead that day, and I knew I wanted to be good, and that I was bad. So those two things were really obvious to me, that I wanted to be good, and I couldn't. And I remember my dad, I was sitting in his chair, and he explained to me that that's exactly what Jesus wanted to help me become as well.
Yes.
And so I remember crying in his chair. I accepted Jesus and got baptized shortly after that. And I would love to say that at that point, it was full steam ahead. It wasn't. I think I then was more sure of just that God was real and that he wanted to teach me. But it wasn't until later in high school when I finally got around some guys through a ministry that's really focused on high schoolers that were people I wanted to be like who were following Jesus. That I began to see what it would look like for me to take my own faith seriously. And both by their example and then what they explicitly challenged me with, they asked, Steve, if you say you're a Christian, which I did, I grew up in a very Bible-centric environment, so I think it was just natural for me to say, they would say, then why aren't you doing the things that Jesus said to do? And that question really challenged me. And they were the first and really only people I had as a clear example at that point to look at, say, oh, well, what did Jesus say to do? And why am I not following his commands? And if I'm not, then am I really his disciple? And so I kind of started the journey from there.
Awesome.
Like every other high schooler, you got to figure out what you're going to do when that door closes. And so I chose to go wrestle in college because it was probably the most important thing in my life. And I thought everything, for me, everything did revolve around it. But the first couple of years, it just didn't work well. It didn't go well. I didn't do well competitively. I didn't do well physically. I kept getting injured. And I didn't do well academically. So kind of a long story short, I ended up leaving school after a couple of years. And through a series of connections, ended up kind of in East Asia, Southeast Asia, all over the place, doing a whole bunch of different things, working, doing agroforestry research, starting an adventure travel company, moving materials like Bibles and stuff, some literature throughout some places where it's not really readily available. I was kind of north of Burma, just outside of the Tibetan Plateau, and a man, we had just delivered some materials up to a really rural village, a couple days hike to get to, and he called me teacher, Laosher, and this is an older gentleman. He was chopping firewood, and I was trying to help him, and he said, "No, no, no, teacher, I can do this. Please don't." And it was a deeply humiliating and humbling experience, because I'm a 20-year-old at this point, entirely capable of chopping firewood, and he was calling me something I wasn't, because I know what that word meant to him, and I wasn't that. And so I kind of just really felt convicted that God had given me opportunities to become something that this guy could never do. He would never be presented the same sort of chances that I was, and that I had a very deep obligation to God for the things that God had given me. And so it kind of brought me back to school, because simultaneously our country went to war. So this is right around 2001. And so watching men my own age go to war while I was kind of just running from responsibility, and kind of decided that God was telling me very clearly to learn how to lead men in intense situations, learn how to make disciples, and then, you know, based on this kind of growing sense, take advantage in a sense, or at least fully embrace as a steward, as God's steward, the responsibilities and opportunities that he was giving me. And so kind of with those three things in mind, I came back to school where I met John at Duke University, finished the degree, enlisted in the Army, and eventually became an officer. So that's kind of the trajectory there. And I'd say just about every other decision I've made, like what jobs to take, I just asked, what's the hardest one? Because God said to lead men in intense situations, and then you know, who should I hang out with? Well, who can I learn about Jesus from? Those different lenses really became kind of the framework that I would approach decisions when.
And Steve, can you just in a sentence or two give a bit about your service in the Army, like in what ways you've served, not particulars here, but just generally, where has your service been in the Army?
Yeah, so I became an infantry officer, was with an airborne unit, which means you jump out of airplanes, in 82nd Airborne in Fort Bragg. From there, I went to become a Special Forces officer, so I'm a Green Beret, and jump out of more airplanes and different airplanes in different places. And then we, my wife and I most recently decided to become attachés. So we are going to be working out of embassies, which is pretty awesome, because now instead of going by myself, I get to go with my family.
Awesome.
And give us about that family. Like, tell us a bit about your family.
Yeah, so so my wife is the clearest, most definitive evidence I have that Jesus loves me. She is amazing. So we are coming up on 9 years of marriage, and our kids, our oldest is 7, and then she could give you the exact months that they're separated, but basically about 18 months apart each. We have 6 total. So we have Abby, who's 7, we have Josh, who's 6, Caleb, who's 4, turns 5 this month, David is 3, and then Luke and Mark are both right at 18 months.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is just fun.
That is awesome. And so tell us a little bit, Steve, about mentoring young men. Like, what has that looked like in this phase of life, or where are you at with that currently?
Well, I think so currently, it's a challenge. You know, there's this massive tension. Just because I mentioned my family, the connection's pretty
it's an
relevant there.
Season. Yeah.
Maybe to back up a little bit, I think it's probably important to distinguish when we talk about modeling and imitation, at least how I understand them, and maybe why they're important first. And then I can get into like what it looks like for us now.
Sure,
is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. So first, like modeling in a sense is for me seeking to make my life available for people to imitate what Jesus is teaching me. Hmm. So we mentioned 1 Corinthians 11:1, or sorry, not we, John, you mentioned 1 Corinthians 11:1 in last week.
Yeah.
Follow me as I follow Christ. And it almost sounds to me like that's just an expectation that we're going to do, and that I need to be, then based on the Great Commission, sharing with people the things that Jesus is teaching me, and that modeling is a really powerful way for me to do that. But then likewise, I have an obligation to imitate the things that I see godly men and women doing. That it's just as powerful for me to seek out those life-on-life relationships that are going to show me what it means to love people when they hate you. What it means to be faithful at work when everyone else is lying on their expense reports or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
To trust God for with your finances. And so these two things really seem to go hand in hand, because another one of my mentors used to say, more is caught than taught. And so I can teach all I want to, but at the end of the day, it's my example or just the environment that I'm in that's going to mold and shape me, simply because modeling and an imitation happens, even if we're not intentional about it. It just is how it seems to me to be how we're designed to learn. We just kind of take on the values and habits of our environment in ways that we're not always aware of, which I think that means. So we need to be really, really intentional with it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we could end up practicing some not great habits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exactly right. The thing about that we're doing it, whether we're intending to or not, it is happening. Just all the time is happening. Yeah. Mm. Great point.
Yeah, so Steve, can you flesh that out for us a little bit? Like, can you share a story of how you've seen that happen?
Yeah, so, yeah, two, one good one and one bad one come to mind right away. The same guy, who his name's Chuck Wood, he at the time was, had just joined the military. I met Chuck at chapel. He was just retiring from the military, and we went to a baseball game together, and I was really struck by his desire and ability to teach God's word. That same night, he asked me to move in with him, and I think, man, you are crazy. But yes, because I don't know where else to go. I know God told me to come here to learn how to do this being teach people about Jesus, but I have no idea what this is supposed to look like, and you're the only guy I found, so yes. So I moved in with them, and lo and behold, there's a couple other guys who are doing the same thing. And I didn't know this at the time, but Chuck, had told these two other guys specifically, I found this out later, like years later, I believe, he told Chris and Jamie, just let Steve simmer. Don't teach him anything. Don't be intentional with pulling him inside and trying to cast vision or share tools with him. Just let him simmer. Let him be in this environment and let him kind of slowly catch the vision for what we're doing. And what was amazing is I distinctly remember, like this is maybe a few months after having moved in with him, sitting down in my room and I was reading the Bible. It's a very intentional community, and there's all kinds of ways that you could go about learning, but I really hadn't. I was just in that environment, and God said very clearly, learn from these men. And so I walked out of my room, and Jamie and Chris were sitting at the kitchen table, just by themselves. We're all about the same age. I said, guys, can you teach me how to make disciples? And they looked at each other like their mouths just dropped open. It's like the question you are praying for people to ask you. And here it was. I had no idea that was the question I needed to ask to really begin unlocking a journey that was has just been a gift, just been an absolute gift.
Yeah.
I think that's one way, just seeing them give their life over to other people when it was inconvenient, when it was hard, when it meant they were picking guys up and dropping them off, just everything you can possibly do to love someone. Mm-hmm. They were doing it, and I was just watching them. And they let me watch them just by getting as close as I possibly could. I'm living with these guys, right? Without ever having taught me anything, I began to see what it was like to give your life over to people. So that's a good way.
The other story.
Yeah, and then there's a bad way. And I don't, this bad way, it's God's grace too that I had an opportunity to see this. But so I mentioned earlier that I became a Green Beret, and I'm a Special Forces Detachment Commander at this point in my life. Not right now, but kind of when I'm talking about. And kind of within that organization, there's an expectation. It's unspoken, and it's not explicit at all, that you will be working to, after your detachment command time, take on increased positions of responsibility explicitly within the organization. There are very set benchmarks that, that they expect you to be hitting in order to progress in a career with this specific organization. Mm-hmm. And what was really interesting is I not once ever had the goal of becoming kind of an uber powerful leader or important leader within this specific organization. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't something I set out to do. However, after about 6 years there, I found myself at least articulating and saying, that's what I want. I want 10, 15 years from now to be coming back as a battalion commander and then continue progressing as a leader within this organization. And that was really interesting for me to see. Maybe what's more interesting is I didn't see it until God intervened, told me to leave. I did, and then looking back on that time, I saw, wow, over the course of my time within this organization, I just slowly took on their values and started taking on their expectations for how my life was to be run. Not really ever intentionally asking Jesus if that's what he wanted. It just slowly happened. And in a sense, it's a terrifying example of where the, you know, when Jesus tells the parable of the four soils, the third soil, it's just one of the things Jesus mentions that choked out the fruit was just a desire for other things. Mm-hmm. And then that good seed produced, or that good, that what would have been good soil produced nothing. And I saw like, man, if you put yourself or allow yourself to be taken by an environment, it will model to you its own desires, and you will begin to take them on. And so you got it's a great example in my own life of where we just have to be on guard and constantly giving it over to Jesus, it being our lives, and asking, what do you want me to pursue, and how do you want me to be engaged with this community?
You know, Steve, one of the things I appreciate about what you're kind of bringing out here is you're really balancing well the whole thing about, you know, model and imitation is happening all the time, you know, whether you realize it or not. And you're kind of tying that to, but it has to be, you have to stay aware by staying aware of God's word and God's voice to you in terms of either him confirming, yes, this is the kind of influence I want you to be around and I want you to become like, or no, this isn't the kind of influence that I want you to be around or want you to be like. So I really appreciate how you're kind of bringing both of those to bear, and they're exactly right. Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, that is good. Well, and one question that I had for you, so I mean, yeah, those were two great examples. So what have you learned, because I think the first example you gave models this so well, but I guess either through that experience or just over time, what have you learned about how to keep modeling and imitation kind of focused on, like, heart transformation rather than just, like, conforming to standards? I don't know if that makes sense, but like, whereas in the first, absolutely, it got to your heart, you know, just by seeing. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that you're talking about how do we get at the heart. This is one, I should say, a really hard question to ask, because the one thing I want to do by modeling and by imitating, I can't do. I need Jesus to change my heart.
So good.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, for whatever reason, God has given us tools that we can use to engage with His Spirit. And so we do have a sense of obligation, in one sense, an obligation to follow through with using those tools.
Yeah.
And so I should say, like, I'm not afraid of modeling, or I'm not afraid of checking blocks, and I'm not afraid of modeling tactics.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I know that that is not what's going to change my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there are days I don't want to have a quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more on my mind. I need to get more work done. But I trust that by following through with that, God is going to feed my spirit in a way that I have to do. And so, you know, I want the heart transformation, but I can't bring it about. So all I can do is sit down and be faithful with what I know God has shown me. So, but that can go really wrong, right? Like, you know, we can create these environments that make it very easy for growth to occur. So one of the things we've done is we kind of organize homes for guys to live in when they're serious about growing with Jesus. And I've lived in them I've owned them so guys could come in, live with me. And they can do a lot of really good work when brothers dwell together in harmony and are intentional with trying to spur and encourage one another onto love and good works. But they can also, like, kind of take on a flair of, like, this is how this house does things, and it's weird.
Uh-huh.
So a really, I think, silly example, it really scared me. There was I used to, in my rucksack, always carry around my Bible and my little moleskin journal wrapped up with really strong Velcro. I don't know why, we had it in the office, and so I used it to wrap it up so it all stayed together with my pen and the pages wouldn't get torn and stuff. One of the guys I was working with saw it. It's like, oh, that's really cool. He didn't say I'm going to do this, but next time I saw him, he had his Bible and journal wrapped up in Velcro with his pen stuck in there. And in one sense, like, that can feed the smaller parts of our ego that are dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can miscommunicate what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get caught up in these external things that can be a distraction, but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to beat a guy up, or really myself, as I see that occurring, because when you're on the front side of something, you don't really know where the value is.
Yes.
So you kind of figure out where the value in an activity is over time by engaging with it.
Mm-hmm.
On the front side, you don't know, so you just imitate.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't know that they're getting healthy food, but I'm teaching them right now to eat healthy food just because of what we have in our home available to them.
Yeah.
The prayer out of that is that eventually they'll begin making healthy decisions on their own just because they've seen it and felt it, the goodness that comes from it.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, and you just touched on this, and I know we're running kind of tight on time, but as you are talking about both model and imitation, and also, you know, heart transformation, it made me think of our kids and what Adam and I are trying to do. So I was wondering, I guess, how does modeling and imitation fit in with raising your 6 kids?
Yeah. Boy. So 2 sides of it, Laura, I think. 1, what happens inside the home, and then 2, what we bring into our home. So, I think by intentionally seeking to model what it means to follow Jesus helps me not put my kids at the center of my world, and it helps me not communicate to them that they are at the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see me say no to them so that I can be with someone else, I think it helps them learn not to be selfish with their time or relationships.
Hmm.
At the same time, because the obligations of being a family are real, by bringing people into my home, I get to model to my daughter what kind of man I hope she will one day seek to marry. Because I want to be that kind of man. Mm-hmm. And then two, I want her to see very real examples of what daddy did so that she can look for those things in another man. Mm-hmm. And I want my son to see what a man of God does, so that if they choose to follow Jesus, it's a very short on-ramp. Mm-hmm. They know what it means to follow Jesus because they were raised in that environment. Mm-hmm. Where those the sacrifices, Luke 9:27, where the cross was taken up daily and walked, and it was a very real walk that mommy and daddy lived out. And so it's not a conflict in their mind once they choose to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now then, just practically, right? Like, I mean, we can also like intentionally bring people into our home so that the efforts to impact lives outside of our family aren't entirely divorced from what we're doing inside the family. Mm-hmm. So like, instead of me going to a coffee shop all the time, let's have guys over for breakfast. That way, the modeling and imitation is occurring all within one context. And there's a lot of symbiotic goodness that occurs when they see me being a father and when my kids see me investing my life or talking with Jesus to other people.
Yeah, man, that's all so good, Steve. Thanks so much for sharing with us today. I feel like there's so much that's helpful from what you said. I mean, one thing that really stood out to me was when you were talking about, like, our role in modeling and imitation, and then but also recognizing that God has to actually you know, do the transformation. So we like model and imitate, and then God, yeah, I just thought that was such a great reminder that God's the one who has to touch a heart. But yeah, all of your stories, all of this is really helpful. Thank you.
Oh no, thank you guys very much.
Dad, any thing you want to say to wrap us up?
Well, boy, this was great. Episode, I think. It's so good to hear from Steve. And just for our listeners, just want to wrap it up by saying this. It's kind of an interesting topic that we do two episodes on model and imitation, and yet I think it's so important for all of us, because as Steve helped us to see, this does happen every day. I'm modeling for people every day. I'm imitating others every day. And the New Testament isn't surprised by that. The New Testament is like, yeah, here's what this really means, especially for a Christian. And this is a primary way by which you learn how to live the Christian life. So mm-hmm. do want to remind the listeners that we do have the show notes for this that have a paper that we've got just chock full of Bible passages that speak about modeling and imitation in the New Testament. And also encourage our listeners to get involved with Leadership Edge as they'd like. We're a 501c3 nonprofit Christian organization that does leadership development through mentoring. And we have mentor training classes that are of minimal price but are solidly good experiences in how our listeners can learn how to be Christian mentors in the life of someone else. So if you're interested in that, you can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com. And just also want to remind our listeners that the personal vision statement that all of our mentoring is built around is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. That's what God has brought us together to do. So listeners, so glad you're with us today. And I'll turn it back to you, Laura.
Great. Thanks, Dad, and thanks, Steve. And listeners, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.